Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, we're back from our Wrestle Me Kingdom 11, as we're calling it.
Yeah, Wrestle Me Kingdom.
Yes, we're in the Big Egg.
It is.
In Tokyo.
Look, we've said it before, Pete.
What?
Worth saying.
Well, we said.
They are all too professional.
Who are?
The wrestlers in Japan.
The wrestlers in Japan.
And right. The stories are thin on the ground.
Yes.
But we are enjoying this. And that, in some ways, is difficult, isn't it? It's like when people sort of say, oh, you know, as a theatre critic, it's actually very hard to write about stuff that's, you know, good.
Good, right. Okay.
It's easier when there's an absolute dog. You know, you can really, you know, have some good lines.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Really,
oh, good
really
fun.
Boot 'em.
I'm definitely figuring that out. I mean, I love this show.
Mm.
All we can do is go, oh, it's lovely. That's
it's
very
lovely.
One note. It's very one note, isn't it? You know?
Simon Cardi, who writes for IGN, the Switch version of the new FIFA 21 is exactly the same as the Switch version for FIFA 20.
Mm.
But all they've done is they've updated the rosters, so you've got updated teams. And that's it. There's no improvements, but there wasn't any improvements last year either.
Right.
So Simon just basically took his review he wrote 365 days ago and just wrote, if they're not going to fucking work on it.
Great.
And he's bashed it out. Very funny. But that's funny, but it would be funnier than his actual FIFA 21 review if they'd actually done something. Because it's just harder to write something about something that's competent and good.
It is. And that's the problem is that, you know, look, I think WrestleMania has always been a big celebration.
Mm.
It's been a lot of the time we're going, this is absurd, but that's hilarious and that's really fun. This is difficult. This is difficult because this is really good. And all we can say is, oh, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he did a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. Oh, you've got to see this. Get me a tiny little man dressed as a bull.
I want someone slipping over. Oh my God, that fucking gif that's going around.
Oh, please don't.
Oh,
please.
Mark, some kind of backyard wrestling kind of show to a lot of, I'm going to say, people who live out in the sticks in America.
Yeah, it's rural types.
Rural folk. This guy just does a light spin.
Yeah.
The sort of move I reckon I could probably do without doing it cuts to me.
That's
doing
exactly what he thought.
Second rope, spins off it, not under pressure.
Nope.
And both of his legs just snap.
Yeah.
And they go the other way. And he's got three knees now.
They don't even sort of snap, do they? They just bend
they just
and cave. It's just repulsive.
Oh, man.
Pablo, who does Pablo's Vault of Horror, he's on Twitter.
Right.
He sent me that. I mean, I clicked on that. Fury.
And yeah, and then, you got sent me earlier, and then I think Rob from the group was. I was like, "This is just, it's just fucking horrible."
Was it Craig who was like, "I can watch this again and again and again"?
No,
I'm loving
Rob,
it.
No, it was Rob.
It was
I think
Rob.
Greg said, Rob. Yeah, Rob said, "I could watch this all day."
Oh, mate!
There is also one of my favorite things that happened this week was Y2J Chris Jericho. He posted a picture of himself.
I voted. It said, "Yeah,
he's done his vote." And he'd coloured in he'd noticed that he had a bit of a bald spot at the front of his hair, and his hair's thinning. Obviously, he's playing like an ageing rock star kind of thing now.
Mm.
But he's kind of doing that in real life, isn't he?
Is he playing? I think he is playing a rock star.
Yeah.
I think he believes he's a rock star.
Yeah.
He is an aging rock star. There's three. That colouring in your hair so ineptly.
Yeah, but he coloured it in with. He'd used a paint. I think he'd used Microsoft Paint.
Yeah.
He coloured it in and it's the colour of turds. The colour of two different turds that he just sort of spray painted on the front. And it looked like pixels. It looked awful.
The thing is, if you find yourself in a photo online and you're balding at the front and you're a rock star,
yeah,
you are too old to understand how to actually correct that and get away with it.
Yeah.
And that's all it proved. For me, the baldness was not a part of it.
No.
The fact he uses Microsoft Paint
yes,
and can't hide yes, it, I yeah. go, you're ancient,
yeah.
you ancient old slug.
Move that. think, and, yeah. and he, it seems... somebody exposed him as a Trump
donator. Right, yeah. He doesn't just vote for Trump. He actually gives yeah. his money.
Look.
If you bought one of those Chris Jericho bubbly, you know, exclusive ringside collectible
oh, yeah.
toy figures
yeah.
and everything, I reckon there's five of you. And he gave about $2,000. So how much would that be? Maybe that is five. They are about 50 quid.
Right.
So yeah. maybe five of you who bought that, he's just like, I'm going to give your money straight to Donald Trump.
A little bit of the imprisoned child on the border.
A little bit of the racism. New figure. Making money out of it. Oh, shameless.
Damn it.
Shameless.
He always wins.
Right, let's have a big number three
slice
match
of Wrestle Kingdom Levy.
There are a lot of people in this one. It's
ooh,
a
yes.
Los Ingobernables de Japón versus Taguchi Japan, Bullet Club and Chaos. Do you know what I was trying to do there? It is actually Mexican stable, Los Ingobernables.
Yes.
The Ungovernables.
Right.
So it will be Spanish, but I actually do find when I try and say Japanese words, I do come over a bit tenko.
What, like you're doing an impression of it? Los
Ingobernables. It goes a bit low. Yeah. Los Ingobernables de Japón. and I'm slightly trying to pull out. Do Japanese people have high-pitched voices ever?
I think the males kind of settle. Ladies do. I think the males settle into a... But they have different words as well.
Yeah.
They use different words, like when they talk about themselves, boku, I think, they use instead of watashi. And so they have their own language to sound like a hard ass.
Oh, okay.
And they speak in a low register.
The voiceovers on this are great, by the way. I absolutely love that thing where they'll sort of go, Will Osabare!
Yes.
But it's always really low in the register.
Osabareo!
Osabareo! Hashiyoshi! They will do. It's always been one of those difficult things as well where, because of the way that Japanese introductions happen, names.
They're backwards,
so,
aren't they?
They are. So you'll have your, for years, people thought that, I can't even think which wrestler it was now, Riki Chosu.
Right. Chosu Riki.
And so you used to see his name written everywhere as Chosu Riki.
Right.
And they would sort of go, good match from Riki. It was just sort of strange sort of things. People used to get it the wrong way around. But you still get that here. They don't tend to do Osprey or Will. They will go, Will Osprey.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So they can get it the right way around.
Yeah, I suppose. I like all these things. They're trademarks now, aren't they? They're not even real names.
True.
You know, shame. Sad times. out comes these are all different stables. So, like your Four Horsemen things, and you've got your Chaos, your Los Ingobernables, your Taguchi Japan, which is a sort of another small stable, and Bullet Club, obviously.
Yes.
In Chaos, you've got Will Ospreay, Yoshihashi, and Jado versus Bullet Club, who are Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Adam Page, and the Tokyo Pimp, Yujiro Takahashi. He comes out with Peter. You see her.
Mark.
Very, she is.
Oh, Mark.
Lovely Peter.
She makes my stomach go all funny.
She is. She is a. She's also known
as. She's a professional go-go dancer, isn't she?
She is
like if. Who's that one who's a pop star in the US? And she looks like a little cat.
Oh, Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
She's like Ariana Grande. If she got filthy.
Yeah, she is. And filthy and big. And she
filthy
is
and tall.
She is a very tall Amazonian version of Ariana Grande. Mm. What part of that does not excite everybody?
It certainly makes me feel better about finding someone who represents Ariana Grande attractive.
Yes.
but it is kind of, I have a real problem with like Japanese sexuality. It's so childish and so, but that creation.
She is.
That, not her herself, but that image that she has made.
Yeah. It's strong.
It's
incredibly strong. If you think.
Well done.
If you think
well
she's
done.
Like, oh, you know, who am I appealing to? You'd be like, you're appealing to men. And she'd go, yes, I am. And you'd go, are they men like me? And she'd go, I think you're a baby. And you'd go, yes, I am. I'm a big baby. And she'd go, now, I'm going to where the men are. She is a proper, because there is a big absence of women within New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right.
Certainly this period, they are beginning to make slow changes. The group Stardom was bought by New Japan, their parent company, Bushiroad.
Mm.
So there is, if you like, co-adjacent to New Japan now in the same company, a female wrestling organization.
Right.
Now, it is funny that Peter is the only like repeat woman
repeat
that you
woman.
See in pretty much 10 years in New Japan.
Right, okay. And she's a star, effectively.
Yeah, she is. And she's sort of, you know, she's a valet. Mm. She comes out dressed with rubber rabbit ears, or latexy things like that.
It's a bit like Batman, but if he was a rabbit.
It's like if the Penguin and Ariana Grande were both sexier and mushed together. She is an astonishing woman, but oddly, she's not weak in any way. She's not subservient.
No.
She is actually, because she's so much physically taller than the person she accompanies, who is Yujiro, the Tokyo pimp, you sort of get the impression that she's strong. She doesn't look unhappy to be there. She's one of the few valets who actually seems to be enjoying what she's doing.
Yeah. She's been doing it for a long time, presumably.
Yeah, she has. And she looks as sensational now as she always has done.
Well, Yujiro Takahashi, who obviously wrestles all around the world, somebody did an interview with him, and there's pictures of him in, I think, Milton Keynes and Manchester. And he's with different women who aren't Peter, who are dressed in the same, got the same mask and stuff.
Got you.
People are asking, where did he get these women from? And he says he just hit on them the day before the show, and then they came to the show. I'm gonna say from the pictures, he didn't.
Are they?
I think they may be professional dancers. I'm almost said, and that's fine. And that is work, and that is good, and it's awesome, right?
Someone is making a bit of money.
I would not, if I was going to be employed by Yujiro Takahashi or whoever fixes these sort of things at 1 a.m. in a club, he should not be saying that he owns them sexually, effectively. They hit on them, and they're here at the show.
I agree.
That is not part of their job description, so I thought it was very disrespectful.
I agree.
Takahashi.
He should say they are working ladies. what level they are happy to go to is a matter for them, and certainly not one I am privy to. Enjoy my match. Properly respectful. You got Ospreay here as well, Will Ospreay, who's a young guy from Essex who is just breaking through, becoming a huge star in Japan.
Just some of his lost somersault kind of work is just incredible.
It is. I mean, you know, we've only just seen the Young Bucks, and yet Ospreay is here, and he is the next generation of what the Bucks used to do.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling is constantly advancing, and you're constantly seeing people in sort of places like this who, it's always nice to watch stuff from a few years ago, not from 20 years ago, but from, like, you know, what is this, 4 years ago. And you can see the people who are going to become the standard bearers, you know, within the future very quickly. And it's impossible not to see the quality of someone like Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Again, Ospreay has come in for a lot of criticism during the speaking out campaign, not accused of anything directly due to his own sort of behaviour when it comes to issues of sexual consent. But for you know, I think it's a complex story that involves him being accused of stopping a female wrestler getting bookings because the female wrestler had been the victim of a sexual assault by someone that he knew.
Right. Still shoddy behaviour, presumably. It is
difficult to, again, it's WrestleMe. I don't want to get bogged down into this just because I think it's a massively important issue. That's the reason I don't really want to be throwing out when we're 3 hours into a record talking about Japanese wrestling. My mind is baked. So what you get here is you get a little match between those two, but this is a gauntlet match, Pete. We're going to be seeing more people coming in.
Oh, I see.
So in come against the Bullet Club, who have got the pin. Takahashi takes a pin. We get Los Ingobernables, Bushi, Evil, and Sanada.
I like Evil, Bushi, and he's got a great look.
Pete,
he's got a fantastic
everything
look.
Is evil. Right? Forks, mate. Evil. Lambs.
Evil.
Microphones. Evil. Fred West.
Evil.
Everything is evil. One of the few gimmicks that they've done in New Japan that's really got over. When he first came out, it looked absolutely ridiculous. He was wearing a sort of, like, you know, skull mask, and he's got his big plastic scythe. And it looked silly as fuck. But it really got over very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, shows what I know. He won the IWGP title earlier this year from Naito. But he didn't hold it very long. It was not a successful run, unfortunately. Los Ingobernables were huge at this point. They were just a really fun, popular stable of sort of rule breakers who were just you know, they seem young and fresh and exciting. And, you know, you can see pulling out of them, especially with the later introduction of Shingo Takagi. They basically all managed to get to at least the semi-main event.
Right.
With the exception of Bushi, who's a little bit quiet.
Too kooky.
Too kooky in his little mask. They managed to beat Bullet Club. And out come the New Japan six-man tag team champions, Ricochet, David Finlay, and Satoshi Kojima.
Mm.
David Finlay, son of Fit Finlay.
Oh, is it? I wondered whether it was... see. Nice.
This match is much better than it had any right to be. All of this, it starts getting really, really good.
Yeah.
You get Ricochet and it's always going to be, you know, it's not going to be a shit show. It's going to be pretty good. In the whole of their history, I think WWE have probably done about 3 gauntlet matches that have been any good at all.
Yeah.
And New Japan just sort of throw this one out there and you go, again, if this was a WWE show, this and as the main event, you'd be like, that was a great main event. Everyone's working really hard. It's really fast.
Mm.
There's no stop in this, which is really something as well you notice about Japanese wrestling, that whole sense about it being about fighting spirit. You don't just sort of like hang about. Everyone is continually running into each other. Full pelt. It's absolutely thrilling. And Los Ingobernables, they managed to get the pins and take out the belts. Mm. Who stood out for you in this match? Who was your fave?
I think Ricochet is always good and Ospreay was excellent as well. This is when the swears started coming in. I was like, oh yes, I'm swearing. Hangman Page was a school teacher. That's what I wrote down on my notes. That's what I've got.
He's good. He's one of those guys, I think, you know, who nobody saw just how good he would become.
Mm.
And yet, even when you watch it now, 4 years later, you watch his bits, you go, actually, at the time, everyone was like, he's a bit boring. And you watch it now and you go, he's sort of fantastic in all of this. He's really good. Just an amazing thing where you can have sort of 9 people, I think, is that right? 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's so pathetic. Sorry, Pete.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12 people.
Well, the actual championship is called the Never Open Weight 6-Man Tag Team Championship. What's the Never Open Weight? It's confusing.
It is. There's also the Never Open Weight singles belt, which we see being defended a little bit later on. The Never, it was a weird thing that they used to signify that it was for people who were younger when it first came out.
Right, okay.
Then it became a thing about you didn't need to be any size. Anyone could challenge for it.
Mm.
So there was no weight classes. So you, it's all confusing, but it's just that thing about it's just whatever it is. Who knows? Just, when they bring in the 6-man title, it's like the Never.
The Never. You know,
again, it's slightly that Japanese thing. Their main belt is not called the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Championship.
Right.
It is called the IWGP title, the International Wrestling Grand Prix title.
See, they don't make this Grand Prix. Why are you putting Grand Prix?
Because it used to be a tournament, which some people used to call Grand Prix.
Mark, this doesn't make it easy for any of us. And to be honest, the commentators they've chosen of the English commentary, they don't seem to be across it either.
No. There is a slight sense.
They seem in open hostility to the actual design of a lot of the matches as well, which I don't understand.
There is something funny about when you see, I think, as well, like the commentators there, they know the guys quite well. You're in Japan, you spent a few days together. Yeah. And everything. There is a sense that they are just sort of like, I'm narrating my mates doing this, and the rest of it is a big company. And, you know, it's hilarious they've let us do this. It's a bit strange. Talking of their mates, out comes match 4, Cody versus Juice Robinson.
Yes.
So Cody has now finally, Pete, left WWE.
We were waiting for the longest time for him to leave.
It seemed like he'd never go.
It seems like he's achieved everything he could possibly have in his life. In the last 3 weeks,
yes,
it seems. Because we were waiting for him to leave and now he's finally left. You're like, oh, right, he's starting to do stuff now, right?
Yeah, so he requested his WWE exit in May 2016. So that was literally just after WrestleMania 32, a month after. He then put a statement on Twitter. It's quite...
I'm tip me ladder.
He said, my goal in pro wrestling has always been to win the WWE Championship. For a decade, I've tried to convince both Vince and Triple H that I could be their star player. It seems we've reached the point where neither saw that in me. One of the last discussions we had included Triple H telling me that WWE is a play. Everyone has their role and needs to act it their best. All I can think to say to that is the best actors don't want the lesser roles. So he heads out. He's left WWE.
Mm.
When he goes, there was a lot of doubt that he could make it. So he basically comes out and he says, I am going to now, I've got a bucket list of things I want to do. I want to be part of the PWG Battle of Los Angeles tournament, the great sort of independent wrestling tournament that happens annually. He says, I want to go and do New Japan. I want to, and everyone's a bit like, settle down, mate. It's a fucking stumble dust. You know, I mean, just, I mean, Cody, look, respect and everything. But imagine that, like, for me, right, just imagine for you that this was like Ted DiBiase Jr. saying this, right? Can you see now, mate?
Can you see what we're seeing?
Can you
seeing?
See, mate? Can mate, see? Can you see? Yeah. Anyway, Cody went out. He had some independent matches. People started going, oh, he's actually pretty good, isn't he? You know, he's better than you'd think. He has a couple of dream matches. He takes on Kurt Angle a couple of times in the indies. Mm. Takes part in PWG's Battle of Los Angeles. The fans do not boo him or anything. Everyone's going, oh, he's trying really hard. And he's Dusty Rhodes' son. Yeah. Because, you know, Pete, it's easy to doubt him, isn't it?
We've said it before.
It's
and we've said
easy
it again,
to think,
no,
well, he's not going to make a success of it on the indies.
It shouldn't be easy. It should be difficult to say that because the Rhodes always fall on their feet.
They cannot be kept down. So Cody ends up in Ring of Honor. Mm. He starts doing some work there. And before you know it, in Japan, in December, he's joined Bullet Club. This, I think, is his actual debut in the ring in terms of having a match, certainly a singles match. And it takes place against Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson, American, worked in NXT as a CJ Parker, whose gimmick was he was an eco-warrior.
Oh,
can
good.
You tell why he left? He basically left NXT. He asked for his release and again said, I'm going to go to New Japan. Everyone's like, you fucking arrogant little ball. He basically went to New Japan, spent 2015 working as what they call a young lion. Mm. So in New Japan, they still have this system where people who train, they will eventually get to do a match. Mm. And for a year, they will spend their time in the opening matches and they will usually just wear black trunks, black boots, and they don't get anything that will help get them over.
Oh.
All they are there to do is wrestle.
It's like the kind of pop music system where you pay your dues, you do your bits and bobs, and then at some point a man in a suit in a unlovable Tokyo skyline fancy office will just decide suddenly, let's push this girl. One of them's died. One of them's died. Get this one.
You know, it's like as well, if you ever play a wrestling video game, when you do the create a wrestler thing, it's basically that first really boring section before you can take on the stars. They'll have you in developmental where you're taking on Mr. Lizard or something like that, you know, or Big Crusher. And what they do with that is they just go, you have nothing. All you're going to do is you're going to go out there. We don't really even expect you to be popular.
Yeah.
What we want you to do is just get out there in front of the audience and work your ass off.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. And so Juice Robinson left NXT to spend the whole of 2015 as a young lion. On December the 16th, he was finally given his first singles match. So after a year of doing tags, six-mans, things like that, they finally put him in a singles match. He faced his fellow young lion, Jay White, and he defeated him. And then once they've sort of gone, right, you've done your year as a young lion, you can now
become a thing.
Start jazzing yourself up a bit. And so Robinson became Juice Robinson. At this point, still very straight and trad.
Right.
Over the next couple of years, he begins becoming a bit more wild, a bit more lethargic, very much a ladies man.
Right.
It can all become a little bit graphic.
Right. He
seems to be having, quite honestly, the time of his life a lot of the time. But he takes on Cody. Strange decision, this, for me. Mm. So Juice Robinson, very much the New Japan guy. Cody is the Bullet Club sort of, you know, pops in and out international star, if you like. The fans aren't into this at all.
Mm.
This would have worked much better had Cody take on a Japanese star.
Yeah.
If I was asked, Pete, to be in Wrestle Kingdom. Tick tock.
Yeah.
If I was asked to be in Wrestle Kingdom and they said to me, and you're going to be wrestling a guy from London, I'd be like, that's not what I want to do.
That's not what I'm here for.
I want to wrestle because I want to wrestle.
Where did he even get those shorts from?
At least Naito. I want to wrestle Tetsuya Naito. I want to wrestle Okada in the main event.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wrestle Danny Burch, Martin, you know, that's not what I'm here for.
Already a Pelican-esque, very thick bill. I don't need to be here if I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Take me out.
That's very nice, but I appreciate it. Look, the fans don't really want to see it either. And I do think it's a wasted opportunity. How, oh man, Do you know, the only way it could be worse is if you went to WWE and you were like, you've got one match, and they were like, we're going to match you against the other Japanese guy. You'd be like, oh, what?
Oh,
you know,
no.
The audience, they're going to really boo this. They hate that.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a fine match for what it is. It's not really representative of Japan. It's a match that's fine, an American match that takes place in a ring in Japan. Thank God they don't immediately follow up with exactly the same thing. This time involving someone who isn't even involved in New Japan.
No, right, okay.
This is a Ring of Honor.
Right.
Because they've got the working agreement, they've supplied a lot of the international talent.
Yeah.
They're like, it would do us a real favour as quite a small American group. You know, we've been number two for a long time, but there's a big gap between one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have our champion defend his belt
in Japan on
your
pay-per-view?
Huge WrestleMania show?
Mm.
And the Japanese say, yep, oh, of course, yeah, whatever. And they are two great performers, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. They are both currently in NXT. They are both two of, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to say that they're not in the top 10, you know, active wrestlers in the WWE system today. Mm. You know, just in terms of pure technique and wrestling ability, they are eminently watchable. Nobody wants to see this. This is, again, this is a sort of thing about if in the middle of WrestleMania you had a never-weight open championship match, that you sort of go, okay, well, I hear they're good. Don't know who they are particularly, and it's a disaster.
Adam Cole does say his name a lot. He shouts Adam Cole, baby.
He does. Yeah, and
don't care for that, really.
Incredibly, when you see it getting over,
You
see it getting over in America, you go, it makes sense.
Right.
When you see it here, you go,
dead.
I hate this gimmick. I really do. I've never questioned it before until you see it fail. At which point you go, this is stupid.
Well, there's
it.
A couple like spots that kind of, like Adam Cole, like, he really, he's got a chair in his hand, I think, and he whacks the ring post and he misses O'Reilly, like massively. There's no way, I don't care where you're standing, it misses him, and it misses him by a good few inches. And the commentator says, I'm not sure the camera's caught that. It was like, they caught him missing him, yeah, they caught him missing him. But and Adam Cole has got like a very pronounced lump on his head, on the side of his head. And again, deep in the Reddits, it was apparently in Detroit, he was fighting Dalton Castle and he chopped him and it swelled up and he had to get it surgically removed.
Ugh.
Which is what I would say if I had a cyst on the side of my head.
You got a big cyst on the biggest night of your life. This is like, you know, graduation. This is like prom.
That's annoying, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Poor.
Never mind.
You were a huge fan of Dalton Castle when you saw him. He was the one who had the big peacock cake.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes, I like that a lot.
He was very good.
Very fun.
Suffered back injuries quite badly. It's hampered his career. Yeah, this shouldn't have been here. I mean, I'm pleased for both of them. But any other night, you see, any other night, that would be a proper main event.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you're at the level of Wrestle Kingdom 11, you know, having two people come out and put on a perfectly good match, Jesus Christ.
It's not good enough.
Stick out. Stick
out. It's just not good enough.
That's why I do a poo in the ring.
I like Juice Robinson, the last one, shouting, "I'm in the motherfucking Tokyo Dome."
I
love the swearies.
There is a famous, it's gone from YouTube now, but there is a bit where, because obviously, you know, the Japanese don't always pick up on the full sort of, you know, implications of English.
Yes, yeah,
you
yeah,
get
yeah,
so
yeah.
many things.
They love it.
He did a very famous sort of like, I think a post-match interview, where he was so excited. I think it was after he won the IWGP Intercontinental belt, or US title, perhaps.
Right.
Where he said, "I'm off to drink some cold Sapporo and get balls deep in some beautiful Japanese pussy."
Oh, no.
He also threw in a little extra bit of Japanese there. Nihon something.
Nihon? Well, I don't know. It's Japan, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he said, he did say Japanese, maybe in Japanese.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think they were like, he's just talking about Japanese. It's fine. don't worry analysing the rest of that. But yeah, so I think he has quite the reputation as a little ladies man.
Oh, dirty little boy.
Juice. Naughty
he
juice.
He did say American Sex Nightmare juice. My ass.
Did he?
Yeah. And then the commentator team went, "American Nightmare My Butt," he said there. It's like, don't lie.
Ass,
we just heard
his ass
that.
Bad.
I don't think butt would be worse than ass, surely. Kiss my ass. Kiss my butt.
Oh, no. I suppose it is like children's, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Americans don't even like saying the word shit.
They don't like they don't like a lot of words. They don't like twat, do they?
Tort.
Twat. We say twat and they say twat.
Oh, twat.
Yeah, they get really upset if you shout that through a letterbox.
I think posh people say twat here.
Twat. Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, twat.
Oh, twat. I might as well be saying this is what leading scientists say. I don't know any posh people. Just getting this from some kind of just back of my mind, making it up.
Love it.
Would you like to have a little meeting with Haku's sons, or have we run out of time?
I think we would. Tamatonga and Tamaloa.
Yes, we are. This is exactly the point I meant to make earlier.
What do you mean?
Exactly this, when I was talking about the L's and the R's.
Right.
He is billed here, young Tangaloa.
Mm.
His name is not Tangaloa.
Tanagal Roa. No?
They bill him as Roa, don't they?
Right, yeah.
It is Loa. Yeah. Jesus Christ, I made a pig's ear of that one. Did the whole of Japanese wrestling history over 80 years?
Yeah,
no problem.
Brilliant. No.
Trying to get the L's and the R's the right way around. Bullshit.
But, I mean, we're like right through this show, we will occasionally sort of slip into sort of, you know, announcing as Japanese announcers would announce. You've got to remember, you know, I've been a few times and it is very hard to be understood in an environment where there are a lot of Japanese speakers without adopting the Joy Barton.
Completely.
Hello, I am now in France, so I have to talk like this.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with him and the ex-Newcastle manager who went to Amsterdam, went to the Netherlands. And
he began speaking
there.
In a strange Dutch English voice.
You meet someone halfway, if you don't speak the language, all right, fine, but help them. You're helping them out if you're just trying to pronounce things properly. Like, you know, it's difficult. So, with the best will in the world, we will occasionally slip into that, but it's only because it is delicious to say it like that.
It is. The other
and also, that is exactly how people say it.
But you hear a lot over the PA. So it's that thing of they will sort of go, "Ishii Tomohiro!"
Yeah.
Like that. Now, that is me. I say Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
I don't go, "Tomohiro!" Like that. But that is the slight sort of Japanese way of pronouncing it.
Yeah, you've got to pronounce it properly.
It's like, you know, when I'm talking to Scottish people, I will often meet them halfway. So I will quite often do a Birmingham accent for them. I'll do Leeds, you know. All right, Pat, I'll say. And I'll go, yeah, you see, now we're getting there. So when we're doing that, it's just meeting everyone halfway. That's all it is. This match is Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano versus the IWGP Tag Team Champions, Gorillas of Destiny. Versus Team GBH, Togi Makabe and Tomokai Honma.
Nice.
Ishii is the first New Japan star that I ever saw in real life, that I ever got near to. And I went to see a Rev Pro. It's like my touchstone, this show. I continually go back to it. But Ishii was on, Shinsuke Nakamura was on. And I walked into the venue at Bethnal Green, York Hall. And I walked in, and Ishii, I was late, and Ishii was just in the foyer.
turning him off.
He had a towel over him, yeah. And I walked in and I didn't, obviously you go, that's obviously a wrestler.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the caliber of wrestler that I was looking over.
Mm.
I don't get beaten up in this story, let me make that clear. But he was, I would say, a good head shorter than I was, you know. But he looked like a drinks vending machine. Just so solid and, like, big.
Mm.
So from that moment, from going, oh, that's a guy, and then see him come out, you go, oh, that's the guy I saw. He's always been, like, my special little boy. Because I found him. I found him.
You scouted him.
Yeah, I found him wandering around.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to make sure he gets back to the ring safely. I went upstairs, he came out, and I was like, my job is done.
Yeah.
But I've always felt a special affinity for that lovely, my age, round-headed, going a bit white, frightening cannonball of a man. He is one of my favourite wrestlers, probably my favourite Japanese wrestler currently working. He is never, ever going to let you down in a match. He is always going to overachieve. His height has been a reason that they've never properly pushed him.
Mm.
He has been a cult favourite for years. Amazingly, when I was doing this, I'd totally forgotten, but he won the Wrestling Observer's Brawler of the Year award. One they used to give to like Bruiser Brody or Mick Foley. He won that for an astonishing run between 2014 to 2019. And then they named him the Brawler of the Decades from the 2010s. He's one of those guys who he's never really in the main event.
Mm.
He's always, you know, hovering around the upper middle. But every single one of his matches is always much better than you were expecting it to be, even though you know he's underrated. And he's been underrated for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that I want them to pull the trigger on because time is running out. I want them to go, do you know what? This year, you win the G1, you go all the way. And you know what? You can retire afterwards. But he is just one of those guys who is explosive. And he has the ability to have top level matches with almost anyone. He is always in the G1. They never value him enough. I just want them to value him.
It's good that it happens over there as well.
It is. You will also, if people say, who is your favourite wrestler?
Mm.
And you say, it's Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
People in the know will go, good choice, man. And people who aren't in the know will go, you're so cool.
Yeah, what's your second favourite team? You'd think it would be something like Nottingham Forest or something British, but I'd actually say Ventfret Corfu in J League 2.
Yeah.
They got relegated a couple of seasons ago, and they've never really been interested in going back, actually, so there you go.
Who's your ideal woman? I'm going to say...
Peter.
Think very You've got to say something like, I think just for historical legacy.
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, you've got to always be interesting with these things. Margaret Thatcher. I tell a lie. Sorry, let me finish. Margaret Thatcher's daughter.
Edwina Curry's Thatcher. Daughter. Would you like to hear the best voice in the world?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Tomoaki Honma. Let me just open it on YouTube. Let's hope the old... This man looks like a dry roasted peanut.
Yeah.
Just in front of the advertising board.
Fuck me. That is astonishing, isn't it?
Astonishing.
He's sort of famous for being this quite rigid man.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of voice that you'd imagine would come out of like a dummy it's been brought to life by a wizard, but then it's been in a massive fire. And those are the last five words it's saying to the wizard, saying, thank you so much for giving me that wonderful day.
It's like you found some tape in a river and you put it through your reel to reel. It's gone.
It's slightly Irish. It's quite funny when you see Makabe and Honma. They are a cult tag team. They're sort of cult for just being grizzled old veterans. That's the sort of thing that they love about them.
There's a lot of people like that on this bill, to be fair, isn't there?
There are. At one time, so like Togi Makabe, also known as King Kong Makabe, not from so much from the monkey as for his resemblance to Bruiser Brody, who was also known as King Kong Brody.
Okay,
so he comes out with the same chain that Brody used to. And he also comes out to Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
Right.
And it's really sort of thrilling, all part of the package. That is one that comes up and it says music altered due to international rights.
Yeah.
But when he was younger, you know, 10 years before, he was terrifying. Mm. He was just this nightmarish, unstoppable, big, horrible brawler. What happens, of course, is that time takes those edges off and you go, they're still going and they're still delightful. Honma, one of those guys, for me, he never had a particularly stunning career. Mm. The best way I can describe them now is they're like sort of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Honma is a bit like rugged Ronnie Garvin. And they're like Japanese versions of them who are more successful, better in the ring, but still faintly you don't want to see them perform. Honma is, you know, he works really hard in this. He's very wooden. Mm. He's really sort of solid.
Well, he looks like he's been doused in cuprinol. He's one of those kind of like bodybuilders that just think less of actually doing the working out and just cover themselves in that kind of brown sauce they put on themselves.
He does an amazing like headbutt off the top rope, which is something he did through his career.
He does a lot of head work.
Yes, he does.
Really dangerous.
And you look at it and you kind of go, because he's so rigid, you're a bit like, has he got just like a seized up neck or anything? You know, but that one he does off the top rope, actually, it's one of the best. And I know that's a really dangerous move to do. Yeah. That does give you the terrible concussions that, you know, will give you awful problems later in life.
Yeah.
But he does, do it well. Yeah. He, a month after this match, he took a DDT from Jado and he was paralyzed. It actually did break his neck. It was a simple move. It wasn't anything complex.
Mm.
And after all these years of doing those top rope headbutts and everything, it didn't even seem like, oh, he had a weakened neck. Mm. It was just one of those freak occurrences. He did slowly regain feeling over his extremities, but there was a point where he couldn't move anything from the neck down. He was back in the ring a little over a year later.
No.
I know. I think
you've open got a restaurant.
Exactly that. Like Toru Yano, who is actually the partner of Ishii in this. Toru Yano is a big, big, big guilty pleasure for me.
Right.
He is Marmite. So you've got the grizzled veterans. You've got Tomohiro Ishii, who is this hardworking guy. His partner in this is Toru Yano. Toru Yano is a man who you either think is a really stupid embarrassment to pro wrestling, or you think is a stupid embarrassment to pro wrestling you love, right? There is no, his gimmick is basically that he doesn't wrestle.
Yeah.
In real life, he can wrestle. He's been in New Japan for years. He can really wrestle.
Yeah.
But he's sort of worked out, do you know what? They seem to like it as much when I don't wrestle. Really wrestle.
Yeah.
When I come out and I flog my DVD and I go, Yano Toru, or yes. Toru Yano it is, like Rob Van Dam, which is something he literally stole from Rob Van Dam. He was like, oh, I had a match with him. Well, I'm doing that.
Steal from the best.
Yeah, no, Toru. I always get that wrong, which, YTR. Yeah, Yano Toru. Yeah, yeah, good. Mm. Just my own self-satisfaction there. He also does a shrug a lot.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Why me? Why me all the time? He just cheats. So most of his matches are very short, which is also New Japan understanding how to do comedy and wrestling. You don't make it last forever, you know. But what they do really cleverly is they give him this sort of thing about, you know, what he tries to do is get the turnbuckle pad to hit you with.
Yeah.
And when the referee pulls it off him, he'll kick you in the nuts and he'll do a roll up and pin you when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
It's all that thing. They keep it short. But what they do really cleverly is they don't go, oh yeah, this guy's a piece of shit. What they do is they occasionally have him win big high profile matches. And that means that you go, yes, it's a gimmick, but at the same time, he's always dangerous.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, there's method to his madness. Maybe this does work. Maybe this is a technique. And so he is hard to watch unless you like watching him. It's a real sort of, I don't know, acquired taste in some ways. But he runs Ebisan, a sports bar, which is very popular for New Japan pay-per-views.
Right.
People will go there. It's quite nearby the New Japan shop, which they have in, where's that, Pete?
I don't know. It's near Corican Hall.
It is near Corican Hall, yeah.
Well, up there then.
It's an area. I write about it in Wrestling Restaurants of the World,
which
is available on the Patreon. The only one that we've actually kept up, everything else does come down, because I feel very strongly that people shouldn't be ripped off by Johnny Come Lately. You get rewarded for loyalty, Pete, in this game.
Yeah, you're like the wrestler that comes out and tries to sell his own DVD.
Very much so. And then I get my name wrong when I'm doing the Rob Van Dam thing. It's absolutely humiliating. The other guys in this are the Gorillas of Destiny, who are, it stands for God, obviously, G-O-D.
Mm.
And I always think, is that a sort of Japanese thing that I think sort of dangerous or clever or...
What, like as in...
God.
Know, God.
God.
I don't know, really. Yeah, Gorillas of Destiny, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know, really.
It might just be, you know, because there's no, they're not, what is a Gorilla of Destiny?
A gorilla who's heading towards either a fall or something more successful than a fall.
Could be.
I don't know, Mark.
They are the sons of Haku.
Yes.
They are Tamatonga and Tangaloa.
Have they ever popped anyone's eyes?
No. These two are very, very pro and very, very nice. Right. They are the Samoan Anoi family, who are the Usos, The Rock and Roman Reigns, and all of the other sort of big Samoan wrestlers.
Yeah.
They are considered family to the Tongans here, who are Haku's kids, despite the fact they don't have a blood relation.
No.
They've decided, they're basically going, no, we are family.
Yeah.
It comes down to the fact that Rock's grandfather, Peter Maivia, he trained Haku.
Right.
And
that's fair.
Yeah. They basically say, we've got a close bond, so we're now family. Yeah. So there's this big Samoan and Tongan family that come together. Tamatonga, always one of those people who's been, you know, suggested would do really well in WWE. He is bigger than the Usos. He is not quite as big as Roman Reigns. That seems to me like a ready-made little feud. but he seems like an absolute dude. He's one of those guys who works really, really hard. Mm. You can see he's good on the mic and everything. And his brother, who is younger, is not quite in the same league. But I'm a huge fan of Tamatonga. I think he's really, really good. This is an absolute thumper of a bout. You know, they just come in. They just constantly fight. Even though they're the big guys, the pace is still right up there. Yano and Ishii win. Ishii does all of the damage, and then Yano does his little roll up, and he acts laughing to himself like, I can't believe this shit is still working. It's lovely. And they win the tag team titles. His sneaky little Yano sneaking his way to another sneaky victory. Simple, good, straightforward booking. That is Japan in a nutshell. You have someone with a tiny bit of a gimmick. In America, you'd go, it's not really a gimmick, it's just a sort of like, I don't know, a moment or something. And here they go, no, we can do this for 6 years. And do you know what? We can make it work.
Yeah.
You won't get sick of it and you won't think it's particularly stupid. You know, you will just go, that's what they do and it will work. Everyone in this match works incredibly hard. And everyone came out. Again, one of those matches when it starts, I'm like, I know what's coming up.
Yeah.
Why am I having to sit through this?
Yeah.
And within 2 minutes, I was like, I'm enjoying this match.
Well, this is
as much as anything
really,
I've
really
enjoyed
good.
For about 6 months.
Makabe says, fuck it! And he really roars it. Fuck it!
Fuck it!
And then the two commentators, two English language commentators, let everyone down by one of them counts in Japanese. And then the other commentator says, next time we'll do it in Chinese. And the other commentator says, like, wing wong, pang pong. And it's
fucking
just like,
hell.
And I was like, sorry, when was this? It was 2017.
Imagine
2017.
Doing that.
17.
Imagine not doing that and thinking, I mean, this is certainly something people who are into Japanese culture and Japanese wrestling,
no!
you know,
would be
they'll
really,
think it's hilarious.
They think it's hilarious.
Why don't you do the eyes, you twat?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry, twat. I'm making sure we're going to break America. Well, we are going to break.
I'm
doing an annoying link again. I hate doing that. I don't know why I do it. I
like
keep
it.
Thinking I'm on magic.
Okay.
We will be back next week. Look, I reckon we are going to have one more, two more.
I don't know. We'll find out, I suppose.
It's going to be exciting. No. I just want you people to know that this is great.
We are hurtling towards the end of this project. So have a word with yourselves. All right?
Absolutely.
If you're annoyed about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, didn't enjoy that one. Well, what are you going to enjoy when there's just an acre of nothing?
I've seen our listening figures. Yeah, you can go fuck yourselves. I know you've not had a commute. Go fuck yourselves. But if you would like to hear what happens next, patreon.com/wrestleme.
It's a bit like when you give Jericho money and he gives it to Trump. If you get the Patreon, you'll be really annoyed to know some of the money goes to us. Apologies. WrestleMe, please.
WrestleMe, Mark.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.